I don't know what we were thinking, but now that I see it, I'm very proud.
Hey, we're recording the podcast. Shut up.
Good morning to you, wherever you are, because it is a morning summer for April 12th, 2024. My name is Bernie Burns, sitting right over there. She's the host of the most popular podcast on Howland Island, Ashley Burns. How you doing, Ash?
Living in the future. Or the past?
I feel like I can't talk over that now. I got to change that. We got to get used to it and talk over it.
We'll get there.
Hey, everybody. It is Friday.
Got to get down on Friday.
Listen, I'm looking out the window right now. I can already tell because the light is finally up in the morning. It's going to be a nice day here.
I'm drunk on the sunlight.
I can also tell because my pocket device, which is connected to the wealth of human information, told me it's going to be a nice day. Maybe it's just not my gut feeling. Maybe it's also that. But I'm really excited about today. We get to go. Let's have class outside today, Ashley. What do you say?
Let's do it. We can sit on the grass and get grass allergies. Is that a thing for everyone?
I kind of just get an allergy to stuff, to plants, like when the wind blows. It's like, did you ever see that horrible Mark Wahlberg, M. Night Shyamalan movie where the plants try to kill everyone?
No, I did not.
He has one of the greatest lines in cinema where he says, literally, run, stay ahead of the wind. I'm paraphrasing there, but it's terrible. But I always thought that about Superman, too, like, as well.
That he just needs to stay ahead of the wind?
No, Superman is allergic to rocks from his own planet. So on his planet, he would have been just a gigantic weenie.
Well, maybe it's one of those things that you develop later in life. Like, you can just one day be allergic to something you were never allergic to before. It could be something like that because it's been so long since he's been there that he's developed a sensitivity. His body's no longer used to. Is that how allergies work, or is it the exact opposite?
I guess if I think about it, the thing with Superman is that he's got radiation involved. Like, there might have been something when the planet blew up. I'm sure somebody deep in Superman lore can tell me exactly what this is. Or maybe this kryptonite just negate the effects of our sun on him and just kind of turns him back into a normal dude. I always got the feeling that it would, like, kill him if you left him around kryptonite for too long.
Well, maybe for him, being just regular human strength is like being weak as a baby.
Yeah, once he's like us, then he's like, oh, this sucks, man.
Superman, tell me about it, bro.
It's like a rock that sucks away all his privilege, basically. That's what that is. That's my conjecture. Although I have to say, Ashley, we're heading into follow-up Friday here in a second. We'll get to it when we talk about that. I had some spot-on conjectures this week. This was a good week for me shooting from the hip.
All right. So, well, is this how we're going to start off follow-up Friday?
Well, I do want to talk about
up all the things that you're right on.
No. Well, that would be a great way to start. But first, let's talk the Patreon really quick. Thank you to everyone who has been so supportive as we launch that in the middle of this week.
I mean, you can sign up anytime, but this is the last day to get the fun bonus.
That's exactly what I was going to say. This is the last day to sign up. So when Friday disappears at Howland
across
time,
the Howland Island,
which is plus 12 UTC. Good luck with that. But as soon as Friday is gone anywhere on Earth, then the bonus coin, which you're eligible for if you sign up and stay on for 2 months, today's the last day to get that. So if you're thinking about it, you should do it. We'll post the latest draft of the coin, which has the flip side with the essence of mush.
The essence
the
of
artistic
mush.
Interpretation of mush. So just visit patreon.com/morningsomewhere if you'd like to support our Patreon. And thank you once again to everyone who has supported us. And Ashley, thanks in particular to...
Thank you in particular today to Ethan Eppelman and Lars Liefstad for helping make this podcast ad-free for all of our listeners. You guys are the goats.
That might be the first time I've heard of an Ethan and a Lars in the same sentence. There's probably some metal band that's got an Ethan and a Lars.
That seems appropriate, yeah. You got to have... You know what? Maybe Ethan and Lars are the duo that we always needed.
All right. Thanks, guys, for your support. We really appreciate it. Let's talk follow-up Friday. Since it's Friday, Ashley and I like to go over the things we talked about this week, some things we got a little bit wrong, some things we got incredibly right, and some things we just wanted to follow up on in general.
Right, first, I think let's start off with Bernie was right.
Okay. Well, I'm going to do a quick correction, though. This is like a sorbet to cleanse the palate.
Ooh, love it.
We put it in the link dump, but Iron Brew, it does not give Scotland the distinction of being the only country in the world where Coca-Cola is not the best-selling drink. There are several countries in the world where Coca-Cola is not the best-selling beverage. I will say there were people in our subreddit who were disparaging the taste of Iron Brew after going out and having drunk it. And I know that
taste is subjective and what you like is personal and up to you. But I just want to let you know, on behalf of my new countrymen, you are not welcome here. Never come.
Get out.
Change your attitude if you want to come here, please. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, you can make it up to us.
It's for your own good.
Eat a chip, buddy, and then maybe we'll reconsider. But going into Bernie Was Right, we have two things.
My favorite new segment.
Two conjectures about which you, I at the time was like, nah, it's bullshit. You were so right.
One was approved by an endorsed, certified meteorologist, and the other by a bunch of people who ate potato chips.
So the first one being about how hail is formed. You were saying that you're like, oh, the air, the wind, you know, keeps it up, and then it freezes and it adds more onto it, and then it gets too heavy and falls down. And I was like, that sounds idiotic. And you were right. That's exactly what it is. It's like a updraft from the thunderstorm just blows the rain up instead of down. It freezes, more water layers onto it, and then it just builds itself into a behemoth, which then gets heavy enough that the updraft can no longer keep it afloat,
right. And
down it goes onto your car, or through your window, or what have you.
What I wonder about, though, when I hear that is, there must be a condition. There's two conditions that would make it fall. Either it gets too much ice and too much weight to hold it up from the current level of updraft pushing it back up into the clouds. Then it falls through, falls to earth. The other condition would be the wind dies down enough, and then all the ice that wasn't heavy enough to fall then falls at that point. And actually, why isn't there like a huge dump of hail at the end of a rainstorm then?
So what you need to do is just stay ahead of the wind.
That would be the perfect drop for today. Stay ahead of the wind.
And then there was the other one that you were completely right about, in that potato chips were not always served with like fully salted already. They came with a little packet of salt in them. And then you would apply the salt, shake it up, and it basically, you know, it's DIY salted potato chips.
And when I read all that, like people saying in the UK, yeah, and they used to have bags of potato chips with a packet of salt that came with it, and you would do it. All I can think is, when I read that, is how old is this country?
Well, the best part is apparently they've brought them back. And so we need to go hunting and see if we can find them in a store right next to the sharing bags of Walker's Ready Salted.
We're learning so much about potato chips in our overseas excursions. But
they're like, like salt and shake is what they call them now. And you can still find them.
It's too much.
What's too much to me is that people would eat an unsalted potato chip and say, yeah, this has potential.
You know what the equivalent of this is? I was just thinking in America. Equivalent of this is when you go to a Mexican food place in America, they give you basically as much as you can eat tortilla chips and salsa. Most places they do. They might have stopped with shrinkflation and everything.
They're so good.
But there's always someone in a group of friends that when the basket of tortilla chips shows up on the table, they grab the salt and they just start salting the chips. You're like, what are you doing? These are already salted. They're like, yeah, but not enough. And they're like giving everyone hypertension at the table without asking anybody about it at all.
Like if it doesn't make the inside of your mouth shrivel when it touches it, there's not enough salt.
I like for my mouth to be a raisin by the time I finish this, if I can. We talked about a heist where a bunch of heisters went and grabbed $30 million in cash in L.A. And one of the interesting facts about this is, depending on what the denominations of the cash were, I talked about there's no bill over 100. So they want cash to take up a lot of room, but it also takes up a lot of weight. The estimates were for the $30 million they stole in varying denominations that it weighed as much as 7,500 pounds.
That's a lot of pounds.
The cash, it weighed that amount.
And if so let's see, if you can carry 100 pounds at a time, you're talking about 35 trips. Depending on how many people it were, divide that down. Let's say there were three of them. You're talking about 10 and change trips per person for whatever this heist is with their, 100-pound duffel bag or what have you. That's a lot.
No, and if
that's
insane. And if you're a guy, it's like coming back from the grocery store. You get you're not taking two trips. I'm loading 7,500 pounds. My fingers are turning white holding these things. I'm making two trips into the vault. Fuck that. I can do it all at one.
And that was pointed out by Tyler3471 on our subreddit. So thank you for those statistics, Tyler. That was very, very helpful.
And I feel like we should convert. So 7,500 pounds is 3.5 billion milligrams, if you're metric. So that's such a weird system. It doesn't make any sense, metric. Anyway.
Following up, I have a couple. One, earlier this week we talked about the death of StreetPass, that Nintendo has shut off the online services for 3DS, and apologies, I think I said Wii. It is the Wii U that they shut off. Wii has actually been shut off for years now. But it turns out, so StreetPass is not technically dead, because it uses all the local sort of peer-to-peer communication. So if you want to get out there and StreetPass, if this is the time you want to pick it up, you'll probably be very lonely, but you could do that. But it's the Spot Pass where you'd get the special Miis, like Iwata or something, that has
gone. The promotional stuff.
My other follow-up is I finished watching The Gentlemen on Netflix.
How was that?
I would recommend. But it's interesting. I'm not sure if, Bernie, I'm not sure if it's canon in the Gentleverse. Because, you know, at no point are any of the characters in Gentlemen, the movie, referenced. But they seem to have a lot of their characters, or like their character types, like replaced. Like there's like another person who does like this thing.
They don't talk about like the Matthew McConaughey character?
Never
like,
mentioned.
Not even by like nickname or whatever?
No. In fact, there's like another guy who would be that guy.
Okay.
So it's kind of weird. Loved it. But it reminded me that it's so weird. If you sat down and you were like, let's binge this show. And we're doing that with Fallout right now as well. It's like, let's just sit down and watch this show for a couple of hours. We'll just binge a couple episodes. It's like, hell yeah, let's do it. If you sat me down and you were like, let's watch this 6-hour movie.
Right.
I'd be like, fuck right off. Who has time for that?
You know, you and I were talking about it too. I was saying to you, actually, it was perfect timing when the MCU came out, because it came out in the late 2000s. And I think if Iron Man had come out 5 or 6 years later, it probably would have been all series. Like it might be the last great movie theater franchise as the MCU. Because now they're pivoting to almost all series.
Lots of premium series.
And I think if it had come out a little bit later, it would. And as a follow-up on the discussions from some things we talked about with superheroes this week, Jonathan Majors was sentenced. He was sentenced to a year of domestic violence therapy. And didn't end up getting any prison time for that. He was the guy who played Kang in the MCU. But the other thing that's going on is that now there's this weird press cycle where suddenly Robert Downey Jr. is just randomly talking about how he would return to the Iron Man role for the MCU and how much he liked the role, and he didn't choose the role. The role chose him, you know? And I personally think that means he's definitely returning to the MCU, because Robert Downey Jr. does not fuck around with PR and press.
It's a big shift too from when he was on his way out. He made it very, very clear. He was like, I want to go out while, you know, I don't want to like run this character into the ground. I want to like go out on a high note. I want to tell this beautiful story and then let the character go. Like the character's story is told, and that's great. And it can be a great memory for everyone, instead of just like, you know, keeping it going until you've run the whole thing out of gas.
There are very few perfect characters and runs in cinematic history, and he's got one.
He does have one.
Yeah.
But I think you're right, that if he's saying anything, it's because he's coming back.
There's no way. There's a lot of conjecture, people saying it's because he has an Oscar now and he wanted to, you know, distance himself until he got an Oscar, so now he's talking about it more. I just think, he's got his Oscar, so maybe, personally, what I think is he'll come back, and my prediction is that it will be the single biggest frontline payday in the history of acting. Like, he'll come back with the largest possible number upfront pay that anyone has ever seen before. Like, something in the range of 50 to maybe as high as $100 million.
He already was, like, the number one guy.
He
right?
was, but it was for back-end stuff. So they have to, like, you know, like, for I think for the first Iron Man, I think he was paid $275,000 to play that role.
Wow.
Because he was such a risk at that point in time. And there's all these articles now, they're talking about the first Iron Man, how Jeff Bridges, who played Obadiah Stane in the first one, how he showed up, and him and Robert Downey Jr. and sometimes Gwyneth Paltrow and Jon Favreau, the director, would go in the trailer, throw out all the scripts for the day, and then just rework all the dialogue every single day. And that it drove Jeff Bridges crazy. But that someone had to tell him, hey, man, just think about it like this. You're in a $100 million student film. an art student film. That's how you got to look at this. And after he looked at it like that, he's like, this is a lot of fun, and had a blast with it.
He's like, man, this script really tied the room together.
But look what that movie did. I mean, that movie launched a multi-billion dollar franchise.
And remained its backbone, really.
Yeah.
So if they bring Robert Downey Jr. back, I'd love to see him back.
Everybody would love to see him.
I loved him as that character. I love that character. I love everything they did with it. And I would always love to see more of that character. Caveat being, as long as it's good.
That's the thing. That's what everybody says too. To me, it's like, you've got the complete story. You got all the way through to the ending, right? The Iron Man has a great ending. Possibly the best possible one he could have. We all got what we want. The reason why we want him back is because we remember it so fondly.
Right. And I don't want a Game of Thrones him.
I don't want
to see Iron Man Game of Thrones.
So what does that mean?
That the last, like the way Game of Thrones ended ruined enough people's experience with Game of Thrones that it went from being like the most like merchandisable, like rewatchable, sellable franchises to you cannot sell all of these stupid bottles of wine because no one wants anything to do with Game of Thrones anymore.
But that's different though, because Iron Man had an ending. Like Game of Thrones, they had to finish, right? They didn't have a choice. They had to go through to the end. He's in a really unique position where he's done and it's clean and it's great. You know, he's not in like season six, you know, trying to finish out a season 7 and 8. He's done. He's coming back after the fact when it's already done and good. It's the door shut. He's going to reopen a closed door. Their problem was they ran for the exit and hit the wall. Basically. While we're talking about Iron Man, Robert Downey Jr., who is known for a movie called Civil War, I went and saw Civil War. How was that segue, by the way?
That was really smooth.
That was solid. That was layered. That was like a tiered one that I went through there. I saw Civil War last night. I ran out and saw it because earlier this week, I had said that like I was really interested in this film because I thought it was going to potentially come out at a very incendiary, exploitable time for this movie. Having now seen the movie, I have no concerns about that in any way whatsoever.
Okay. All right.
So let me ask you this. The movie Civil War, you've seen the trailer for it. What is the movie Civil War about?
It is about a second civil war breaking out in the U.S. as the political ideologies erupt in conflict.
It is a movie about photojournalists.
What?
Yeah, they're war journalists. And it's about that, and it's about war journalists being involved in a war and the atrocities of war as they happen, set against the backdrop of the second American Civil War, what it is.
Okay.
It is very little about the war itself. It's more just these people navigating it. And
interesting. Weird.
And I liked the movie. I just wish I'd known what the movie was about before I went to see it. Because I think everything that I don't like about the movie is based in my own like preconception, everything I had preloaded about the movie before I went in to see it.
All right. So would you say, you wouldn't say the movie itself is not exploitive of the current political climate?
I think it avoided all that stuff.
But the marketing didn't. So would you say the marketing itself is exploitive where the movie's not?
I would definitely say that. I would say that because there's one moment in particular that stuck out to me in the marketing, and that's Jesse Plemons plays, in the trailer, appears to be like a soldier or a militia guy, and they're saying to him, he's got, you know, an automatic rifle, and they're saying, wait, don't stop, please. We're Americans. And he says, very chillingly, he says, what kind of Americans are you? And that was to me like, oh my God, what's going on here? What happened in this movie that like discourse gets to this point where you have to say like, are you this kind of American or that kind of American? What answer are you going to give? When you actually see that in the context of the movie, it's not that kind of moment at all. It's kind of just like almost like a stereotypical moment. It continues from there and you're like, oh, this is something entirely different. And it was set up to be like American versus American. And it just didn't come across that way. Like you don't even know sometimes because they're all wearing the same uniforms. You don't know who's fighting or anything like that. And it's more so about the story of these journalists as they go through it. Okay. I want to say, not a bad movie at all. I really enjoyed it. I thought Kirsten Dunst was amazing. I felt like seeing her on screen, I felt like I like skipped two chapters of her career because somehow she went from Mary Jane, Spider-Man's girlfriend, to basically like Jodie Foster.
Whoa.
She like eats this role up.
That's
she
high
plays
praise.
This hardened war journalist, and she's completely believable in that role. She does an amazing job. Everyone's great in it. There's an interview character, an interviewer part of the press corps guy who's like, he's really inconsistent sometimes as a character, but the actor did a great job with it. And there's a young girl in it. She's great. There's the older, like heavier black guy from Devs. If you ever saw that, that's another Alex Garland production.
Okay. Yeah.
He's in it and he's just like, man, there's something about that guy. He's got such a presence. Like he really shouldn't be in this movie, but I'm really glad that he was. Like he was just like, you'll understand when you see it, but he's just like his presence and his demeanor is just like so weirdly comforting. You know, every time that guy talks, I want to listen to him.
He's got like a voice like a warm blanket.
Yeah, that's what it's like. It's like a warm blanket every time he talks. And anyway, so I went and saw it. So it wasn't as incendiary as I thought it would be. So, I'm curious now how people will react.
So would you recommend people see the movie and not be what, scared off by the marketing?
No, yeah. If you want to, don't be scared off by the marketing, I don't think at all. Like it's not going to be like Hollywood like preaching to you or anything like that. It doesn't feel like that at all. And I know there's some people who will feel that way or come out angry about that. I don't think that will be the case. But if you want to see an interesting deep dive on the morality of war journalism and the effects it has on the people who undertake it, then this is the movie for you, I would
say. All right.
Yeah, but it's not like how did America descend into civil war? I came out of that movie and I still don't know. Like I'm just like, I get it. It's kind of like when you go see like Saving Private Ryan. Saving Private Ryan, call it a war movie. What it's about a movie about a guy's trying to go find a guy who all his brothers have died. That's what the story's about. You tell stories through characters. The problem is we all know what World War II is. Like when they run into German soldiers, everybody knows what a German soldier is. We know what a Panzer tank is. You know what I mean?
Right. There's just like a cultural knowledge that comes built in so yes. that you don't have to explain things in the movie.
This movie is a war movie for a fictitious war. So it just assumes that you like know all that same stuff you know about like World War II or whatever.
Or that it wants you to like fill in the blanks yourself. And right. Just, you know, imagine it.
Like Saving Private Ryan, the first 10 minutes aren't like, how did we get here? They're like, why are we at war? They don't do that. And I felt like maybe unfairly, I kind of wanted that for Civil War. And they don't deliver on that.
Okay.
This weird like made up expectation that I gave myself. Anyway, enough about that. Anything else for Follow-Up Friday?
I don't have anything else for Follow-Up Friday. I do have just a couple quick news. I don't want to run too long, but there are some amazing developments. One is related to the heist that we talked about earlier this week, but it's slightly different, and that is the police have arrested four and recovered $300,000 in Lego stolen from Target.
Whoa.
Yeah, so... I've seen this before. It'll pop up on social media every now and again of like, don't invest in gold, invest in Lego.
Lego has outperformed gold in the last like 30 years. Although that stat was before gold's current run. So it might not be true anymore.
Maybe it's more consistent, but apparently a bunch of people, they stole $300,000 worth of Lego from Target and they got busted. Like of all the things to get busted stealing, being like, you stole the Lego is funny, but also like that's an astonishing amount of money.
It would be amazing to be in the prison cafeteria. Like, what are you in for? Lego. You throw a bunch of pieces on the floor and they're like, stay away from this guy.
I'm picturing them like trying to escape and they're just, you know, some people would like throw money or whatever if they've got another heist to distract, you know, the crowd and try and like create a diversion or an obstruction for the people following them. And these guys, all they have to do is just throw down a box of Lego and bam, instant Caltrops.
They're fine. They're protected. they'll be just fine. Stay away from that crew.
They're driving down the road in their like Tercel, just throwing a box at behind them. And you see the police car flip.
Going off into the ditches. This is a CNET article from 2019. Lego bricks outshine gold as investment, study finds. Report claims Lego toys outperform gold, stocks, and bonds. Could Lego sets be building blocks of a stronger investment portfolio? A study has found that Lego sets may be better than just about any other investment. That's pretty interesting. We'll put a link to that one.
Clearly the thieves read that article.
And you've opened the door to financial news. The only thing I want to bring up this week is that Fitch downgraded their outlook for the credit rating for China. It's a big deal, but it's not an actual downgrading of China's credit rating. They just downgraded the outlook for it. So it could be, you know, tougher times ahead for the Chinese economy, even though they've had tough ones behind them in the last few years too. All right, well, that does it for us today. I do want to thank everybody once again for supporting our Patreon this week. Thank you so much.
It's been amazing. We've got plans. We'll be putting out our first Q&A.
That should be out this weekend.
This weekend. So look for that on the Patreon.
And I don't want to overload it in the first weekend. We'll probably put the bonus content when we make it. We'll probably put it out on the weekend. And I don't want to set expectations weird by putting out too much in the first weekend. But I do have a little bit of a backlog. I will also hopefully be putting out Eric Vespi's extended Morning Someone interview, in which, if I may tease,
he
reveals something about Red versus Blue that has never been publicly discussed before.
Ooh, that is a tease.
And just so we don't have like the Civil War Jesse Plemons moment, it is a someone who made a voice cameo in Red versus Blue
that you've never spoken about
before. Yeah. So, all right. So thank you for your support once again. If you want to support the Patreon, please visit patreon.com/morningsomewhere. We will be back to talk to you on Monday. We hope you'll be here as well.
Bye, everybody.